Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here is today's message.
Starting a new series tonight called Connect. And you know, I'm excited about what this series is going to be talking about as we talk about not only how do we connect with God. I love how everyone just decided to move back from the front. Holly, you're awesome. Thank you for staying in the front. But how we're starting this whole new series, and it's going to be talking about this whole idea of connection, and it's talking about the whole fact that, and she moved, man. And this whole idea that God's wanting to connect with us and connect with the world around us, and he wants to use us to do that. And so by the end of tonight, I hope that you guys, we're going to be talking about three things, and hopefully you'll see the connection between them. We're going to be talking about a phone, a charger, and some grapes. Some delicious grapes. And you guys are going to be like, how in the world, what does that have to do with anything? And let me tell you something. I am passionate about this. I'm stoked for tonight. I'm excited about what God's doing. And can anyone tell me why this week, more than any other week, you should be passionate about this week? Easter. Anyone know what this week is historically called? The liturgy kind of through church history is called this. Anyone know? Okay, it's called, this week between Palm Sunday and Easter is called, historically, Passion Week. Passion Week, right? And so this is what's cool. This is what's incredible to me, is that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus, in this week, changed history, changed the world as we know it, changed how we get to heaven, changed how we had a relationship with God, changed everything in 1 week. I mean, we talked about with camp how a week can change a whole lot, like your eternal destiny can be changed in a week, and especially at camp. But you think about next week. Some of you guys are on spring break. What's going to happen in spring break? You're going to sit around and maybe get some extra sleep, but really it's not going to change a whole lot, right? But man, in 1 week, Jesus changed everything. And so we're actually going to talk a little bit about that. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to kind of jump right in. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 15. So if you have your Bibles or you have it on your phones, turn to John 15. And this is what we're going to talk about. John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. It's in the New Testament, right? It's a gospel. So what that means is it's a retelling of Jesus' life, right? And it talks about, it's kind of a recount of how Jesus lived. Jesus lived approximately about 33 years is what they say. And so the Gospels, each Gospel kind of talks about his entire life, those 30-some-odd years that he lived. And so we're going to look at that. But between John 12 and John 21, between John chapter 12 and John chapter 21, 10 days occurred. I mean, the whole book is his life of 30-some-odd years. And yet, between chapters 12 and 21, only 10 days occurred. And what's crazy, so scope is like, and even more so, between chapters 13 and chapters 19, 36 hours took place over the course of those few chapters. And so you see that, and you just got to think, man, something really important must be happening right there, right? 36 hours, right? And this is kind of what we're going to look at is Jesus' kind of last conversation with his disciples. And I want you to know something. One conversation can change everything. You can write that down on your notes. One conversation can change everything, because this is the reality is Jesus's conversation. When he has a conversation with you, guess what? Your life can be forever changed. When you decide to have that sort of intentional, powerful conversation with somebody else, their life can be forever changed. And so don't think that, hey, I just go through school, I don't really have a chance to talk to anybody, I'm in my home, you know, I'm homeschooled or whatnot. Man, one conversation can change everything. And so these chapters that we look at, these 36 hours are actually taking place during Passion Week, during this week, right here, right now. These 10 days that between chapter 12 and chapter 21 are taking place over this week and a little bit of next week historically. And so what's crazy is 2,000 years ago, we are reliving this moment right here, experiencing this and remembering this. And so during, you know, looking at it, we'll kind of look at the bookends here. John 12, if you look at that, you find it says Jesus' triumphal entry. Now see, Jesus was this guy that went around, and you guys all know what Jesus did. He spoke and he shared and he talked a lot about this kingdom, you know, this kingdom of God that he was going to establish, and talked a lot about, hey, you know, they started seeing power, he started doing miracles, they started doing all sorts of crazy stuff, and people started to gather and be like, man, this guy is awesome. Right? This guy's really cool. This guy is doing some amazing things. And so all of a sudden, they started to recognize that this guy can do something incredible. And so Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, and Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem. And so people knew this, and they heard about it, and they're like, dude, this guy who keeps talking about this kingdom and keeps talking about this whole freedom from bondage, freedom freedom from the slavery that we feel like we're in, man, he's coming to Jerusalem. And at the time, Jerusalem was under Roman rule. And so they were seeing this as, oh my gosh, he is going to start this war. He's going to start this war and break us out of Roman rule. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be so incredible. I can't wait. And so when they saw him coming, they got out these palms. That's why last Sunday was known as Palm Sunday, because it's known as... As he came in, they were waving these palms, and palms was historically known as, like, victory. It was kind of like when you're at, a basketball game. Some of you guys don't do this, but you get out your keys when the other team is about to lose, and you're, like, waving your keys, like, hey, we just won, suckers, right? Get your keys and go home. It's kind of like that, right? And so there's this moment where they're starting to wave their palms. They're like, man, and they're saying this saying called Hosanna. They're like, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the saying actually means save now. Save now. Saying, man, come on, dude. Let's break the bondage of Roman control. Let's do this. Let's win. Let's get out. Right? And so they're expecting him to come in on this war horse, right? Because horses were historically seen as wartime animals. And yet he rode in on a donkey, which kind of like threw everyone. But donkeys are actually seen historically as animals of peace. And so it's like, okay, well, maybe he just couldn't afford a horse. But it's okay, we're still going to win, right? And so some of you guys, if you're into sports, you kind of know this feeling, because there was a certain, they thought he was going to be king, but there was a certain king that came to Cleveland this year, King James, LeBron, a little LeBron action, and when he decided to come back to Cleveland, the city went crazy. Like, people were just like, oh my God, oh, it's so incredible, the king has returned, like selling shirts and all sorts of stuff. They're like, this is great, the king's coming. And like, they went crazy, right? Why? Because they're like, we can finally win a championship. We're going to win. We're going to break out. We've never won. And finally, the Cavaliers are going to win this championship, which has yet to be decided, but it's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. Yes, King James. Thank you, LeBron. And so you could kind of feel what the Jews were feeling when Jesus was coming in. They're like, yes, woohoo, championship. It's our time. It's our time. Woohoo, woohoo. All right, so that was John 12, right? John 13 goes into this kind of thing called the Last Supper or the Passover Supper. And what this was back when the Jews were actually in Egypt. Remember, we talked about Moses a little bit ago. When the Jews were in Egypt, they were in slavery, bondage, and Moses came, and God did all these plagues, and one of the last plagues that he did was killing the firstborn son of every family. However, if you wiped the blood of the lamb, of this lamb, over your doorpost, the angel of death would pass over your house, and your son would live. Right? And so there's a lot of stuff that's wrapped up in that. But just know that they celebrate this Passover saying, hey, that was the moment that God got us out of bondage into freedom. You know, he led us out of Egypt. Interesting how Jesus, this whole Passion Week is happening, and they're celebrating, and Jesus is coming to lead them out of a different sort of bondage. They thought it was going to be out of this Roman bondage. They're like, history's repeating itself. And God has such a bigger plan. Whenever you set a vision, God has such a bigger vision. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to break you out of bondage, but not the kind that you think. This is the kind that's going to last for eternity. And so it's really cool to see how it correlates with this. And so all of a sudden, there's this Last Supper, and Jesus is sitting around with his disciples eating this Last Supper, remembering this moment of, hey, God bringing us out of Egypt. And there's this moment of, wow, how awesome is that? And you can kind of relate to it in thinking of like 4th of July, right? It's like Independence Day. Oh, woohoo, we're free from Great Britain, right? Yay, right? We're free, right? We won the war. This is awesome. And or you can think of it like Thanksgiving, the meal that we all have. We're like, oh, thank you for the pilgrims that rode on the Mayflower and all that stuff. So those are the kind of feelings that this stirs up a little bit with the Jews. And so we see that, that happens in John 13, John 14. Jesus starts this discussion around the table. He starts to talk about how he is the only way to heaven. And actually, in chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, that's one of the fundamental, foundational verses that talks about God being the one true God. So when we start to talk about and debate, oh, you know, there's so many different ways. No, we look back at John 14, and in those few verses there, it talks about how God is the one true God. And so we look at that, and he's talking about, hey, you know what, I want you to get set. All of this time that we've been talking about, you know, it's kind of coming to an end here, and I want you to get ready for that. And then we'll come back to John 15, but John 16, Jesus talks about, hey, guess what? It's kind of like his final words. It's going to get really crazy here in a couple hours. It's going to get really whacked out. Your lives are going to be forever changed. Now, I just want you to know, be prepared, right? Just get ready for it. A storm's a-coming, but I'm going to walk with you through this. This is going to be a good thing. Don't worry about it. Know that I'm with you. I've never left you. I'm not going to forsake you. And these sorts of feelings, he starts to say, hey, just get ready for this. And then John 17, Jesus prays for the last time for his disciples. You see that, the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. And then John 18, he's arrested, and John 19, he ends up being crucified at that moment. So that's kind of the 36 hours that you have there. And so let's go back to John 15. So right after he finishes this discussion at the Last Supper, the last words in chapter 14 are like, all right, let's get up, right? And so some of you guys, if your family has like dinners together, it's like, all right, well, now what do? Let's watch TV. Let's go, like, play, or let's go do chores, or go homework, or look at my Snapchats, right? And so it's one of those things, well, they didn't have TV, and they didn't have Snapchat. So Jesus is like, hey, let's go get some fresh air. Let's go upstairs, maybe, and gets out on this rooftop. I can just imagine he's out on this rooftop, and he starts this kind of final discussion. Up on the rooftops of kind of Jerusalem, you have a lot of these little vineyards, these little vines that people are growing their kind of gardens. Some of you guys, does anyone, their parents grow like a little garden or anything like that? So some of you guys have that. Like, my parents are like, yeah, let's grow a garden. And it was like, yeah. And so it was about the space of this, and there's like 3 tomato plants in it. And it was like, okay, that's a great garden, right? And so the tomatoes always died. Like, we got 1 tomato a year. It was awful. So, but they didn't have gardens like that. They had kind of these vineyards, these vines that grew up, maybe lattice work or something like that. And there's these grapes that were there. And so, grapes, right? Grapes, delicious. Put them in the freezer, get a little grapesicle. So good. All right. So you have right here, Jesus is maybe looking out over the rooftops. And he's looking at some grapes. He might have taken a few grapes and picked them up. And he starts this last illustration that he has with his disciples. Man, this is so crazy. I just can't imagine what it would be like. You know, he starts this last conversation, and the last words you say to someone are important, right? Like, I don't know if you've been on vacation with your family, or maybe you've gone to camp, and it's called a camp crush. You know, you get the opposite gender, and you're like, oh, hey, and then, like, we're on vacation, this family's staying at the same hotel or same resort or something, and you just hang out a lot, and you get this crush, And then, like, at the end of the week, you're just like, all right, see you later. Have a good life. Like, this has happened to me. I've been on an airline flight next to somebody, and we're actually on this airline, this plane, for 8 hours. And so I get to know her, and she's talking to me, and we're the same age kind of thing. And so there comes this moment where it's like the plane lands, and they're like, ding, take your seatbelts off. And you're like, have a good life, I guess. I mean, see you around, right? It's like just super awkward. So you're always wanting to say, I want something really cool to say as our last words that they would remember me by. And you know, on a serious note, sometimes it's somebody's like dying and there's these last words. Or maybe for some of you guys that are graduating or about to leave middle school into high school or something like that, there's these, or you come to the end of the school year and you're like, you want to write something really cool in the yearbook, and you're just like, man, you're awesome. Have a cool summer. And it's like, I don't know what to say, right? And so there's these moments where you want to have these good last words, because here's the thing, no matter the situation, your last words are important. No matter the situation, your last words are important. And so here we find in John 15, Jesus starts his final conversation. He starts his final conversation. And so verse 1, it says this: I am the true vine, and my Father, God, is the vine grower, the gardener. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. All right, so pruning is this thing of kind of, my parents used to do it, but a lot of times you're kind of doing it right now, getting ready for spring, is you kind of look at the dead and you kind of prune away, you cut away some of the dead stuff so that new growth can happen. You know, it can happen every year. Sometimes, like, I think it was petunias that, or something like that, that my mom was growing. It's those little flower heads that were always popping off. And so every day, almost, she was always pruning, always taking these things so new growth can occur. And so that's kind of the image. He's saying, you know, he wants to remove this dead stuff out of your life so that new growth can happen. So here it says this: you have already been cleansed or pruned by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, that's important, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So right there, the first thing that Jesus wants his disciples to know in this last conversation that he has with them, this last moment where he's going to say, hey, these are my last words, because it's about to get crazy. We're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, we're going to pray, and more or less all hell is going to break loose, and you're going to think the whole world is ending. So right here, he says this. He wants them to know that in the kingdom of God, there are positions. That's the last thing he wants them, or the first thing in this that he wants them to know. In the kingdom of God, there are positions, and you need to know them. There are positions, right? And so some of you guys, like the band, it has positions, right? A person plays the guitar, sings, somebody plays the drums. But if everyone was like, no, I want to play the drums, and everyone's on the drums, all of a sudden it's just like a bunch of noise. Right? And so there's positions, right? Everyone has a part to play. Or in sports, some of you guys play sports, you know, like midfield, goalie, you know, pitcher. If you don't play sports, kickball. Everyone's played kickball at some point, right? You got the pitcher, you got the guy that kicks the ball, you got some people out there that want to catch the ball, right? And so there's this thing of positions. We all know that we have positions. So we have this moment. Let's see. Caleb Taylor, can you come up here real fast? So football, right? There's positions. And so at the beginning of every play, there's positions. And Caleb is an extraordinary, and they just had the combine, if you weren't watching it on NFL or ESPN. And so he has this arm, like he's a cannon, right? Quarterback all the way, right? And so he's the quarterback, and anyone know what I am? The center, there you go, right? And so that's my position. Now, here's the thing. Now, what does Caleb need to say? What? Hike, right? And so he hikes the ball, and then I run off, right? No. And I'm like, hey, pass the ball. Oh, no. Okay, here it is. No, what are you doing? Don't touch the ball. Say it again. Okay, go. No, wait. That's not my position either. All of a sudden, we realize that there's positions, right? All right, you can sit down, Caleb. You're not even going to touch the football. Thanks. I want to make sure I protect that shoulder of yours, right? Make sure it's good for next season. So here's the thing is I don't just take off running. I need to know my position. There are positions in the kingdom of God. There's positions on the football field that you need to know your position. What am I supposed to do? All right, he's the quarterback. I'm the center. I hike the ball to him, right? And so there's this moment where we need to realize that in the kingdom of God, there are positions. And here's the thing. Everyone has a position. Everyone has a position. Verse 1, it says this. Jesus is talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower, or the gardener, right? So right there, Jesus, position 1, is the vine. The source that everything comes out of, the source that the branches, the grapes, everything comes out of this vine. It's if you've never seen the vineyards, if you're driving to Niagara Falls, you see a ton of them. And so there's these vines that there's one main vine and kind of everything breaks off from that. And so Jesus says, I'm the true vine and my Father, God, is the gardener. He's the one that takes care of the vine and helps the branches to grow and produce fruit. And then it says in verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So that's the third position. So you got the vine, Jesus, you got the gardener, God, and you got the branches, you, us, or the disciples. And so before Jesus goes to the cross and everything gets crazy, before the whole world turns upside down, before you go to school tomorrow, before you go into this relationship, before all these things might happen, before you go back home and your parents are going to yell at you or your siblings are going to fight or you get to school and the bully's going to be there to try to punk you, before all of that gets crazy, he wants to say, hey, I want to make this clear. Your position matters. Your position matters. So make sure that you know your role. Your position matters, so make sure that you know your role. You aren't the vine. You aren't the gardener. You're the branches. You're the branches, right? Your position matters, so make sure that you know your role because that matters. We got to know everyone has a position, right? So the second thing that Jesus wants his disciples to know. Second thing he wants his disciples to know is this. There are promises. There are promises, right? And we're going to talk a lot about this next week. But in chapter 15, from verse 1 to verse 17, Jesus talks about a ton of promises. Talks a ton about promises and all this stuff. And some of those promises are promises of pruning. Promises of saying, hey, we're going to remove the dead, but there will be promise of fruit, right? Fruit that, and so some of you guys have gone through seasons of pruning, seasons of frustration of, you don't really know why this is happening. God, I thought I was tight with you. I don't understand. You know, I've talked to so many students, so many young adults that and they just come up to me. It's like, man, I just want to get back to where I was with God. Like last season, I tell them, man, you're getting pruned. You can't bear the same fruit that you bore last season. You got to get pruned and bear new fruit. And so there's this pruning season. There's this frustration that sometimes we go through. It's like, man, I feel so far from God. I just feel so frustrated with God. I don't understand what's happening. You know, Lauren and I have gone through several different of these seasons, right? Because sometimes you go through multiple seasons of pruning. It's not just a, hey, once in my life I got pruned, woohoo, right? Sometimes it's every season, right? Every year, or sometimes like my mom's flowers, it's almost every week, every day. When we got married, I got graduated. There's my edumacation for you, right? But I graduated, and I was like, sweet, I have a church history degree. All right, I feel like I want to go to ministry. I'm going into this stuff. And I end up working construction, putting in closet cabinets in apartment complexes. Like, they were building apartment complexes in downtown Kansas City. And me and my buddy, because it was his dad's company, were going in into these closets and, like, just drilling in these little, like, rails and stuff. I mean, they're probably horrible because Him and I were horrible at it. But they're always like, does that look straight? Yeah, I think that'll work. Sure, right? And so it was one of those things that I did that. And then I got this job at a hotel, being a front desk guy. And, hi, how can I help you? What's your reservation? And, like, all that sort of stuff. And it's just like, man, I worked that for a year and a half. And I also did this FedEx job where I put boxes into trucks. I was just the middleman, literally. Oh, box is coming down the conveyor belt. I'm putting it in the truck. Box is coming down. I put it in. Box is coming down. And it's like, woohoo! It's like, God, this is not what I had in mind. Like, this is not what I thought this was going to be like. Man, and then Lauren and I got married, and we lived in this apartment, and it wasn't this great, amazing apartment. It was a nice apartment, but it wasn't like, wow, look at this. We got to the point where, you know, our parents had to kind of help us with groceries sometimes and stuff like that. And all the while, it's like, man, what's happening? And then I was kind of helping out at a church, and the youth pastor there was like, hey, I want you to start taking my place as the youth pastor. And the senior pastor was on board, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get to be involved in ministry and full time. I'm going to be a youth pastor. This is going to be cool. Okay. And then the senior pastor resigned, and he's like, well, hey, I can't hire you now, so sorry. So I'm stuck at my job working at this place of Hyatt Place and doing front desk work. And it's like, what on earth is happening, God? It was a pruning season where God was saying, how much do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? It's these moments where we feel so frustrated that's when God's pruning us. Because after, you know, a year and a half of that, and, you know, we got to that point, and it seemed like the last straw, God finally brought about this new opening that I didn't see coming, no one saw coming, and it was kind of cool how God kind of orchestrated it. And so I was able to get this position at this church. And so at this other church in Kansas that led me eventually to here. So it's one of those things I can say with confidence that when we go through times of pruning, when we go through times of frustration, that God is doing something in and through us. And so another promise that he makes is this promise of don't live a long life of nothing. Is this thing that you can have it all, but if you aren't connected to God, then it's nothing, right? And so it's this idea that you can have the straight A student, you can have the sports athlete, you can have the perfect relationship, you can get into the awesome college, get the scholarships, you can get the most amazing job, and people are applauding you the whole time. Man, I've never heard somebody play like you play. I've never seen somebody move like you move. Man, you're so awesome. You're so incredible. Good job. And you can have the hottest wife or hottest husband. You can have the most amazing kids. You can have the mountain home and the beach home and the city home and the country home. And you can have all the toys that go with it and all these things. And people are like, woo, you're successful, and all this stuff and all the money. And yet if you're not connected to Jesus, it's nothing. You can live a whole lot of life without Jesus. And so I go back to that saying of don't live a long life of nothing. Because apart from Christ, that's a promise, you can do nothing. Verse 16 goes on to say, I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. He's talking about legacy there. That's another promise that he made is guess what? There's going to be fruit, and that fruit is going to last. There's a legacy that we want you to live by. And we'll talk about this next week a little bit. But man, fruit, if you think about it, fruit is nourishing. It's refreshing. It's not something that bogs you down kind of thing, but it's more of, it's a refreshing kind of thing. And we're called to bear fruit. We're called to refresh others, to nourish others. And so he's saying, man, make sure that your life is nourishing others, refreshing others. I want you to think about this. Begin your life with the end in mind. And you're like, I don't want to think about death. And I'm not talking about that. Begin your day with the end in mind. Some of you guys are like, yeah, the moment I wake up, is like, I can't wait to go back to sleep. This is going to be incredible tonight. And I'm not talking about that either. But what I'm saying with that is when you begin your life with the end in mind, what I'm saying right there is think of the legacy that you want to leave and how are you going to get there. When you wake up in the morning, think of what do you want people to think of about you at the end of the day? How do you want to draw them closer to God by the end of the day? Wake up with the end in mind. Go into each day with a goal saying, God, I want to draw people closer to you. I want to draw my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my parents, my sister, my brother closer to you. So show me how to do that. Begin with the end in mind, right? And we're going to talk about that next week because our whole role, our position is to leave a legacy that lasts. And so the third thing Jesus wants his disciples to know before the craziness and all the stuff and his last words to them, he wants them to know the priority. Know the priority. There's one word in those 17 verses that's repeated 11 times. One word. And in the version we read, it said abide. Some versions say remain. But we named our series after, and because it's easier to understand, it's connect. Connect. You think of connect to me, and you'll bear much fruit. Connect. Stay connected. Right? How many of you guys have a phone, whether it's iPhone or Android, or you have a tablet with you, like, or maybe a game system, like you have some sort of electronic device, right? Some of you guys, all right. So these things are incredible, right? Like it's been proven that the technology in this has allowed a man to walk on the moon. Like this is the same amount of technology that got a man onto the moon, which is crazy to me to think about. Like our phones are just incredible. Right? They are just these incredible things. And how many of you guys like go through the day and there's a game on your phone or on your tablet or whatever that you like always just have to play? Like you play multiple times. Like whether it's like Word Crack, Candy Crush. I'm still, this is sad, but I'm still into like Fruit Ninja because I'm just like, yeah, woo! Right? It's sad, but I'm really into Fruit Ninja. Alright? So there's these things that like our phones can do incredible things. I had this app that showed the constellations in the sky, and out here that's important to me because you guys don't see the stars like I see them in Kansas. Like, there's billions of stars, and like, up there I'm like, I think that's a star. Oh no, it's a plane, never mind, right? And so, or it's just the nuclear plant just glowing, right? And so, I'm able to look up and it'll show the stars that are right above me, and I actually can move it. I can actually see the stars that are in the southern hemisphere when I move it around, so I think that's so cool. I had this one app on my phone that I could have a video conference with somebody while I was walking through Target. Like Lauren and I and the boys went to Target shopping. She really didn't appreciate this, but I had my little earbuds in and I was video chatting with a bunch of different people. And so I'm walking through Target. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I really think that's and like I'm walking around like shopping and like doing work, business, all right, so it's not the greatest moment for me. But I was just like, that's really cool that I can do that. Like I can have a video chat with anybody, anywhere. And so that was so cool to me. And so I can do all sorts of incredible things with this phone. But it's useless unless something happens. Anyone know what that is? Gotta plug it in. Plug it in, plug it in. Right? It's useless unless I plug it in. And see, I mean, so many of us, the last thing that we do at night is what? Plug in our phones. Why? Because we want to make sure that it's alive tomorrow so that we can do all this awesome games and all the stuff on our phone. And so many of us think that our phones are plugged in, right? It's like, hey, sweet, I'm plugged in. But how many of you guys have ever like plugged in and then walked away and then come back and your phone's dead? You're like, but I plugged it in. You're like, wait a second. Right? You're like, no! And your phone's dead, and it's horrible. Like, right now, our DVD player is on the fritz, and so I bring home my laptop, and we plug it in, and that's how we watch Netflix through the TV. We plug the TV into the laptop and stream it through there. And so I do that. I'm like, yeah, we'll sit back on the couch, and we're watching. And all of a sudden, like, the screen will go blank, and I look over, and the computer is like, was like, oh, I forgot to plug it in. Like, I plugged it in the TV, but not, oh, man. And, like, that's the worst. I just hate that. But so many of us think that we're plugging in, but we're really not plugged in. Because here's the thing. We think that this is the power source, but it's not. Right? So many of us think that, hey, I'm a branch. I got it. I'm bearing fruit. This is good. I'm legit. I can do this. My life is going well. I'm doing all the right things, right? Come to church, do this, do that, do that. I'm doing all the right things. But the thing is, we're not actually plugged in to the power source. We're not plugged into the wall. And so many of us are going through this life not plugged in to the power source. So we need to make sure that we stay connected to the true power source. That we stay connected to that wall and realize where the true power is coming from. And so I want you to catch this. Our role and priority is to make sure that we are connected to Jesus. Our role and our priority is to make sure that we are connected to Jesus. That is the priority. Jesus said, man, a lot of crazy things are about to happen to those disciples. And they were. And we'll talk about that over the next few weeks. A lot of crazy things are about to happen. Some of you guys are going to leave here, and you're going to go back to basically hell on earth. Your family life is crazy, right? You got some friends, neighbors that are crazy. You got some siblings that drive you up the wall, right? You go into your schools, and there's just all sorts of craziness that goes on. And you're literally walking into a war zone. I'm telling you. You think that you can just do it on your own, but some of you are like at 2%. And it's just like, yeah, I got this, it's good. It's like, no, you need to plug in. You need to plug back in. You need to get connected to the power source. Because we can do a lot to look good, but if we aren't actually plugged into the power source, guess what? We are useless tomorrow. We're useless. So here's the last thing that I want to leave you guys with, and if Emily and Austin can come back up and just start playing. This is the last thing, is do the right thing today. Get plugged in, get connected, and you'll get the right results tomorrow. Do the right thing today, and you'll get the right results tomorrow. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, very much it could historically they're saying it would be like tomorrow, Monday, Thursday, when they celebrate the Passover meal. Is so tomorrow, Jesus, these 36 hours, Jesus is saying to his disciples, do the right thing today and you'll get the right results tomorrow. You have to abide in me. You got to stay connected to me. You got to get connected. You got to get connected to Jesus. Get connected to the living water, to the vine, right? So as they start playing, as we start thinking through, what does that mean? How do we connect with God? It's so much more than just showing up to church. It's so much more than just singing songs, so much more than just reading your Bible or praying. It's so much more than that. It's saying, God, I want to give you all of me. I want you to be my source. So if we do the right thing today, we'll get the right results tomorrow. So tonight, we're going to go in, we're going to have this time of worship where we're just going to reconnect with God. We're going to reconnect with Jesus.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who He has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.